day, everyone, and welcome to today's Immigrant Inclusion and Senate COVID-19 package. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question and answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded, and I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Executive Director of the National Immigration Law Center, Maria Elena Incape. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Chloe. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us for this important call. As Chloe mentioned, my name is Maria Elena Incapié. I'm the Executive Director of the National Immigration Law Center. We are here today to discuss the urgent need for an inclusive COVID-19 relief package that provides financial and other critical support to everyone, including taxpaying immigrants and their families, many of whom have been excluded from previous bills. I'm honored to be joined on the call today by close partners and advocates in the immigrant rights movement from New York and Wisconsin. The first is Steve Choi, who is the executive director of the New York Immigration Coalition, the NYIC, and the second is Christine Newman-Ortiz, who is the executive director of Voces de la Frontera in Wisconsin and also one of our partners in the NILC Immigration, in the National Immigration Law Center's Winning in the States initiative. I'm especially honored to have two other courageous speakers on this call, Luz Chavez Gonzalez, who is a DACA recipient and a member of United We Dream, and Lorena, a resident of Edwards, Colorado, who is a mother and a restaurant worker, and like millions across the United States, her family was denied federal financial support because she uses an individual tax ID number, which is issued by the IRS, for her to file her taxes. Luz and Lorena, thank you for your bravery and your leadership in sharing your story so that the country, and especially our elected leaders, understands the realities that you and your loved ones are facing. We are so grateful to have you with us and to be in this fight along your side. The COVID-19 crisis is testing the limits of what our nation's families can endure. The public health and economic crisis has placed unparalleled strains on the country's most vulnerable families, including immigrant families. During this COVID-19 pandemic, the invisible work of millions of low-wage Black and Brown and Asian Pacific Island workers who have been caring for our children and our loved ones, picking our food, delivering our goods, is finally being seen. And among those, nearly 70% of the immigrant workforce is employed in the essential workforce. While helping keep our nation afloat, however, immigrant families have faced unparalleled strains. And to meet the needs of this moment, any COVID-4 bill passed by the Senate must include immigrants. Congress has an opportunity right now to right some of the wrongs from the last COVID bill signed by President Trump. In the CARES Act, Congress explicitly excluded immigrant families from qualifying for stimulus payments if any taxpayer in the family filed taxes with an individual tax ID number or an ITIN. That means that millions of U.S. citizen spouses and children were denied stimulus payments because one member of their family pays their taxes using an ITIN and not a Social Security number. It's estimated that approximately 15.3 million people in these families, known as mixed status families, were excluded from stimulus payments, including 3.7 million children and 1.7 million spouses who are U.S. citizens or green card holders. This is punitive, it hurts communities and public health, and it's simply plain wrong. You can't applaud essential workers as sheroes and heroes and then exclude them from vital relief. We at the National Immigration Law Center and our allies on this call and elsewhere are fighting hard to make sure that this recovery is truly a recovery for all. As it has for millions of Americans, the crisis has placed many of our immigrant neighbors in positions no one should have to face. Many are essential workers helping to build and support the nation's survival while risking their exposure to the virus, and others have been laid off and are scrambling to survive and provide for their families. As a result, millions of American citizens and taxpayers did not receive that financial help that their tax money has paid for, and this exclusion, as I mentioned earlier, is needlessly cruel. We will only get through this crisis if we are all having the testing, the care, and the financial help that we need to survive. We should also be taking care of communities whose lives have been upended by the Trump administration's attack on DACA and temporary protected status and extend those protections. We at the National Immigration Law Center, along with our partners on the national, state, and local levels, will continue to fight alongside immigrants and their families to demand that they receive access to this critical relief that they need to be able to continue to live fully and to thrive in their communities. Confronting this crisis means coming to terms with the ways that we have failed to build strong and inclusive structures and systems that support the needs of everyone who calls this country home, regardless of where we were born or how much money we make. We urge Congress to act swiftly to ensure that everyone in this country is able to make it through this unprecedented crisis together. With that, I am honored to turn the call over first to Luz Chavez Gonzalez, a DACA recipient and a member of United We Dream. Luz, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. My name is Luz Chavez, and I am a DACA recipient and a youth leader with United We Dream, the nation's largest network of undocumented immigrant youth. Thank you so much for having me on the call. Grateful to be here with National Immigration Law Center, the New York Immigration Coalition, and Voces de la Frontera in Wisconsin. My story began at the age of 4 when my family decided to migrate to the United States from my hometown of La Paz, Bolivia. We came to the U.S. in search of having access to opportunities we wouldn't have had in my home country, opportunities that would pave the way to a better future for my younger siblings and I. I never fully understood my undocumented status or what that meant for me and my family. I first found out I was undocumented when I was a junior in high school. While my peers were focused on finding jobs and getting their driver's license, clueless why I wasn't able to do the things my friends were able to do. My parents hid our status for the sake of me and my siblings to live a normal childhood without the fear of losing them. That fear lingered in our household for a very long time, and not once did I know it was because of our status. Everything made sense. The protective habits of my parents, the reason I couldn't work or drive, and by the time I was applying for colleges, I then started to see how challenging it would be to continue my education as an undocumented student. Shortly after, I was able to apply for DACA, and my whole life changed. I was no longer afraid, and I no longer felt alone. That's when I really started organizing in my community. I wasn't just going to rallies. I was leading them. And I was fighting for my own rights and the rights of millions of other undocumented people just like me. Despite the hardships for my family, my family and I faced, COVID-19 has by far been the worst. It left both my parents and my two siblings without a job. My mother was one of the first to get fired at her job when the COVID-19 outbreak severely hit the states. In addition, my disabled father couldn't find work before COVID, and his health condition and age made him susceptible to the virus, leaving him with no options but to stay home. This situation has left me as a sole provider of income for a household of 5. My family and I had to cut back and budget on essential items while also relying on local community mutual aid groups for added support. All this while being a full-time rising senior at Trinity Washington University. It has been a lot of added stress during an already stressful time. And while all this is going on, I'm also worried about the threats that the Trump administration has made to DACA. Despite the Supreme Court ruling, the Trump administration has made it clear that they want to deport immigrants like me. For now, DACA allows me to work and provides me with some peace of mind from the threat of deportation. Right now, with the health crisis and the uncertainty of the Trump administration ending DACA, my family could lose their only source of income. And that's why it's important for Congress to extend protections from deportation for DACA, TPS holders, and other immigrants in the next COVID relief package, so I can keep working to provide for my family. In addition, immigrants should be included in future cash assistance programs. Right now, many of us, my family included, are relying on mutual aid funds and food banks to help us get by. And like I said, I'm the only one bringing income right now, and unfortunately, it's not enough to get us through. Undocumented people were also left out of vital free COVID-19 testing and treatment, which is so important for people living without health insurance. Congress needs to do more to help keep families like mine safe and protected. Congress must make sure that immigrants are included in the next COVID relief package in a sustainable way. That means ensuring work permit extensions, cash assistance benefits, and free COVID testing, treatment, and services for everyone, regardless of immigration status. In order for us to get through this pandemic, Congress needs to make sure immigrant families like mine aren't left out. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Luz. Thanks for your leadership on DACA and also for fighting for economic justice for your family and all of our communities. Our next speaker is Lorena, who, as I mentioned, is a Colorado resident. Lorena is going to deliver her remarks in Spanish, and my colleague Juan Gastelum will be translating for her. Lorena, puedes empezar ahora tu presentación.
Hola, mi nombre es Lorena. Vivo con mi familia en las montañas del noroeste de Colorado, donde llevamos ya 13 años en nuestra comunidad en Edward.
Hi, my name is Lorena. I live with my family in the mountains of northwest Colorado, where we've lived for 13 years in our community in Edwards.
Mi esposo y yo llegamos a este país de jóvenes en busca de oportunidades y un buen futuro para nuestras familias. Nuestros hijos han crecido aquí y juntos hemos luchado por sacar adelante a nuestra familia.
My husband and I arrived in this country when we were young in search of opportunities and a good future for our family. Our kids have grown up here, and together we strive to get ahead.
Durante muchos años hemos trabajado duro. Donde vivimos hay mucho turismo y muchos trabajamos en servicios de hotelería y restaurantes, o en trabajos que son comunes entre los inmigrantes, como la construcción.
Over many years, we've worked very hard. Where we live, there's a lot of tourism. Many of us work in the hospitality industry, in restaurants, or in jobs that immigrants in this country often do, like construction.
Aunque la renta y el costo de la vida son altos, aquí nuestros hijos viven en comunidades pequeñas y seguras. Ellos solo conocen la vida que hemos podido dar aquí. Para nosotros, este es nuestro hogar.
Although rent and the cost of living are high, here, our children live in a small and safe community. They know only the life we've been able to provide for them here. For us, this is our home.
Desde que empezaron a cambiar las cosas por la pandemia, muchos de los que trabajamos en nuestra comunidad o seguimos haciendo trabajos esenciales o nos hemos quedado sin trabajo. En mi caso, el restaurante donde yo trabajo cerró, no han abierto y llevo meses sin poder trabajar ni ganar dinero.
Since things started changing because of the pandemic, many of the workers in my community have either continued doing essential jobs or we've lost our jobs. In my case, the restaurant where I worked closed. They haven't reopened, and I've been unable to earn money for months.
Nosotros somos gente trabajadora. Siempre hemos buscado la manera de abrir camino y de ver por nuestras necesidades diarias y hacia el futuro. Trabajamos para brindarles a nuestros hijos una educación y una preparación para que tengan oportunidades que nosotros no tuvimos. Ahora estamos muy preocupados.
We are hardworking people. We've always looked for a way forward and looked to provide for our daily needs while also looking ahead to the future. We work to give our children an education and prepare them so that they can have opportunities we didn't. Now we're very worried.
Como muchas familias en todas partes, esta pandemia nos ha impactado, muchos de nosotros no recibimos la ayuda del gobierno. A nosotros nos han excluido por usar un número de ITIN para declarar impuestos, a pesar de que pagamos taxes como todos los demás. No hemos recibido ayuda.
Like many families all over, we've been impacted by this pandemic. So we haven't received help from the government. We were excluded because we use an ITIN to file taxes. Even though we pay taxes like everyone else, we've been denied help when we need it most.
No es justo. Y además, simplemente no podemos seguir así.
It's not fair, and we simply can't continue like this.
Aunque mi esposo sigue saliendo a trabajar, lo cual me preocupa por su salud. Ya se nos han ido nuestros ahorros y ahora que estamos viendo la posibilidad de que muchos lugares vuelvan a cerrar, nos preocupa mucho porque ¿qué vamos a hacer, especialmente sin seguir recibir ayuda?
Although my husband continues to go out for work, which worries me because he is putting his health at risk, we've already burnt through our savings. Now that we're hearing about the possibility that a lot of places will close again, we're very worried about what we're going to do, especially if we don't get any assistance.
Nos preguntamos cómo vamos a cubrir nuestros gastos. ¿Vamos a tener para darles de comer a nuestros hijos? ¿Qué pasa si nos llegamos a enfermar?
We ask ourselves, how are we going to cover our expenses? Will we have enough to feed our children? What will happen if one of us gets sick?
Estamos frente a una situación muy difícil y sin algún apoyo económico será mucho peor.
We're facing a very difficult situation, and without financial support, it will be much worse.
Como nosotros, hay muchas familias que están batallando en esta crisis, y a la vez estamos viendo que nuestro bienestar depende del bienestar del prójimo para poder salir adelante. No pueden seguir discriminándonos como a mí y a mi familia, que formamos parte de esta comunidad. Nuestros líderes tienen que repartir ayuda con igualdad.
Like us, there are lots of families that are struggling in this crisis. At the same time, we're seeing that our well-being depends on the well-being of our neighbors. In order to get through this crisis, our leaders can't continue to discriminate against people like my family who are part of our communities. We need to make sure everyone gets help.
No pedimos ningún trato especial, solo que no se nos haga a un lado. Nuestras comunidades están sufriendo y nuestro futuro y el de nuestros hijos está de por medio. Gracias.
We're not asking for any special treatment, only that we don't get cast aside. Our communities are suffering, and our future and the future of our children hang in the balance. Thank you.
Lorena, muchísimas gracias por esas palabras tan poderosas y Juan por tu traducción. Thanks to Lorena for those very powerful statements and for sharing her story, and to Juan for his translation. Moving on to our next speaker is Steve Choi, the Executive Director of the New York Immigration Coalition. Steve?
Good morning, and thank you, Mary Elena, and thank you, Neil, for your leadership. My name is Steve Choi. I'm the Executive Director of the New York Immigration Coalition, and I'm a proud co-chair of two national coalitions, the Fair Immigration Reform Movement and the National Partnership for New Americans, and they are both throwing down with different actions across the country today. You know, the stories of both Luz and Lorena and their families make clear. Immigrants continue to work on the front lines of both the pandemic and the recovery. Whether we're talking about cooking meals, delivering them, toiling in hospitals, taking people to the hospitals, deep cleaning, infected facilities, our immigrant communities are on the front lines of fighting back. And yet, when you look at the impact of the pandemic, it's hit immigrant communities especially hard. When you think of the industries that have been hit the hardest, it's often the ones where immigrants play such a key role. And so here in New York, hundreds of thousands of immigrants have lost their lives, as you've heard from some of the earlier stories. They've lost their jobs, excuse me. And so it has been an economic disaster, but the impact on the health and lives has been even worse. And, you know, here in New York, thousands of immigrants have indeed tragically lost their lives. So this is the impact of the pandemic that we continue to be facing here in New York. So we need to include immigrants and ensure that they're part of both pandemic relief, but as well as recovery. And this is supported by the public. Here in New York, we've done a poll and we found that a strong majority of New Yorkers support including all immigrants in providing them with relief checks. And that's a strong majority of 55 to 43 margin. And yet three times Congress has passed stimulus legislation that has excluded millions of Americans. Not only taxpaying immigrants like Lorena who are paying into the federal treasury, but it's also, they've also been punishing their families, husbands, wives, children who are American citizens. It is inexcusable that this is happening. And we're talking about a lot of people here in New York. There's more than 1 million New Yorkers who've been left out in the cold. And that meant that New York has lost out on $1.2 billion in stimulus funds, money that could have helped support small businesses, jumpstart our economies, help folks stay in their homes. This is the impact that we've lost out on by not including immigrants in stimulus legislation. So the time has come for Congress to finally deliver. Our leaders have talked the talk around including immigrants. Now they need to walk the walk. We need a stimulus package. And frankly, we need the fact is that a stimulus package that leaves out immigrants and their citizen families is going to put the brakes on our recovery from this pandemic. And that is something that we, as all Americans, cannot abide by. Our communities deserve better. So our message is clear to all of our congressional leadership. Relief for America's immigrants, don't come home without it. So today we are launching a TV ad campaign with this message addressed to New York's senior senator, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. But I want to make clear that we are going to keep up the pressure on all of our elected officials to make sure that this gets done. This is what New York needs, and this is what America needs to fully overcome this pandemic. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Steve, and thank you for your leadership in this moment for all immigrant families in New York and across the country. And our last speaker is Christine Newman-Ortiz, who is the Executive Director of Voces de la Frontera from Wisconsin. Christine?
Thank you, Maria Elena. Voces de la Frontera is a statewide community-based organization and advocates for the rights of immigrants, racial justice, low-wage workers, and students in Wisconsin. Because of the pandemic, we created an emergency fund that has now distributed more than $100,000, in the amounts ranging from $100 to $500. This humanitarian aid goes to immigrant workers and mixed immigration status families who are excluded from federal relief because of the presence of one undocumented worker in the family. This has been critical funding to help elders and families with medical costs, food for the children, rent assistance, immigration visa renewals, and even funeral costs related to COVID-19. These are hard times, and we know they're going to get harder. We are calling on U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin to use her vote and her influence to ensure that immigrants and mixed immigration status families are included in the next round of federal economic relief. In Wisconsin, Latinos are 6% of the population, yet they are 40% of the COVID-19 cases because they are disproportionately essential workers and often live in multi-generational households. If we call essential workers heroes, then we have to treat them that way, with the respect and dignity they deserve. In April, WOSA started an essential worker rights campaign to help workers on the front line who are not being granted protections on the job. Many are in the food industry and meatpacking plants. These are hard jobs that have been disproportionately affected by COVID-19. Yet these essential workers in mixed immigration status families cannot access unemployment benefits or have access to aid when they get sick and need to be hospitalized. Furthermore, others have faced retaliation or have been fired because they were organizing for stronger COVID-19 protections in their workplace. The emotional trauma of having a loved one suffer through COVID-19 or die should not be compounded with economic hardship. U.S. Senator Baldwin, we call on you to support immigrant workers and their families in helping them. We help reduce the numbers of people impacted by COVID-19, and we honor their lives and their labor. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christine. Thank you for your leadership in Wisconsin and nationally on behalf of all working people. With that concludes our opening remarks, and operator, if you can please give instructions for the questions, we'll take some questions from the press.
Absolutely. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and 1 on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. And once again, for your questions, that is star and 1. We'll pause a moment to allow any questions to queue. And once again, that is star and 1 for your questions today. We'll pause another moment. And it does appear there are no questions at this time.
Great. Thank you for that. Operator, any of the speakers, any final comments anybody wants to make before we wrap up? Okay. With that, then, I'll just wrap up by saying, as you heard from each of the speakers, particularly from Luz and Lorena, immigrants are playing a critical protagonist role in not only helping us stay healthy and recover from this public health crisis as well as the economic crisis, but they are also taxpayers and valued members of our communities, and we're calling on all members of Congress to ensure that they right the wrongs from these last COVID relief bills to ensure that everyone in our country has the support that they need to emerge from this period of crisis in a more healthy and resilient way. Our nation is depending on immigrants as essential workers, and we need to both continue to applaud them but recognize their work by ensuring that they are covered this time around, both in terms of making sure that all taxpayers, whether they pay with ITIN or Social Security number, are included, extending COVID relief, testing, healthcare, rehabilitation services, et cetera, without regard to immigration status or economic status, and finally extending automatic work authorization for DACA recipients in light of the Supreme Court decision, as well as temporary protected status members. So with that, thank you all for joining us. Once again, thanks to each of our remarkable speakers, starting from the end, Cristina Menor-Ortiz, Executive Director of Voces de la Frontera, Steve Choi, Executive Director of the New York Immigration Coalition, Lorena from Colorado, Luz Chavez Gonzalez, member of United We Dream, and once again, I'm Maria Elena Capier from the National Immigration Law Center. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks, everybody. Gracias, Lorena.
Thank you, everyone.
Muchísimas gracias. Adiós.
Cuídense mucho. Adiós.